And so if you care about this country, as I know all of you do, don't just complain about social media. Get up and get involved in a campaign. If you want a better policy outcome, even from an administration that you voted for, then get out and get involved and making your voice heard. If you care about this country, love it enough to get involved in the process and how we govern it. That is the only way we are going to save the United States of America. And that is perhaps the greatest contribution that you can make to Charlie Kirk's legacy, is getting involved in saving this country. I'm in the fight, and I know every single one of you are with me. God bless you, and thank you for having me.
That's the Vice President of the United States, who spoke in Oxford, Mississippi last week at a Turning Point event, America Comeback Tour. That's what Charlie Kirk was on when he was assassinated in September in Utah. And so it was a great event. He did most of his time answering questions from students. The place was packed. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit, because President Tim Weilman of the American Family Association and lots of other staffers from AFA were there that night. We're going to get their reaction. J.D. said some incredible things, and I'm going to spotlight one of them in the course of our discussion. And I don't think you're going to want to miss it. But that's not all we're talking about. We're also talking about what's happening online with children, because the American Family Association has just challenged Apple, one of the largest technology companies. I think 88% of teenagers use Apple phones. And so what they allow children to see is very important to explore. And AFA has done that and had a great success. And I'm also going to talk to you about just some of the terrible harms that have happened to children online. So it's a dual conversation with Tim and Walker Weilman today on both of these things, so don't go away. But before that, we have still such a problem with the French abortion pill. I know they don't call it that now. It's the abortion pill, but it's two pills, as I've described many, many times. And it is it's just wreaking havoc. I'll just tell you, the Foundation for the Restoration of America had a team of board-certified OBGYN clinicians comb through more than 865,000 insurance claims related to chemical abortions between 2017 and 2023. And of course, we've had two more years of it since then. They found that at least 10.9%, almost 11%, resulted in a serious adverse health event. Women are giving birth to their forced abortions in their homes by themselves, young women in bathrooms. And women, you know what it's like to give birth. They are giving birth, and they're doing it by themselves in their bathrooms at various stages. There really aren't any limits on where the baby has to be in terms of gestation period. And so you can just fill in the blanks about how traumatic this is. You know, it was bad enough to have someone else kill your baby, but now that they're allowing you take that pill, you take those pills, and you put them in your mouth, and you are the one killing your baby. There's no middleman. So you think about the repercussions of you not only in that moment physically, but also in years to come. I think it is horrendous. Now, Preborn has a solution to that. They have a solution, at least in part. If you've taken one of the pills, that's the one that starts, the first pill actually kills the baby. The second pill induces labor. It's just so horrific. Can you believe we're talking about these things? If moms change their mind and they come to a Preborn clinic right after they've taken that first pill, there is a reversal pill. And that's the one good thing that we can say about this. But how many women are able to do that? We're encouraging you to do that. Get the word out. Go to Preborn Clinic. Go to, just go online and you can find a Preborn Clinic anywhere. But also, if you want to help by providing an ultrasound or continuing the work that Preborn is doing in the area of preventing or stopping these chemical abortions, you just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. All right. Well, this is, in spite of the subject matter, it's fun and also serious. My discussion with President Tim Weilman and Vice President Walker Weilman of the American Family Association. Some fun stuff about the rally at Oxford, Mississippi at Ole Miss with J.D. Vance, and some not so fun stuff, but a good victory with AFA applying some pressure to Apple and all of its computers in regard to the safety of our children. So you don't want to miss this one. So stay tuned on Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
Introduce a friend of mine, somebody that I have just been so thrilled to see ascend American politics. His story is uniquely American. Growing up in poverty, difficult circumstances, serving his country honorably and heroically in the United States Marine Corps, being an America First champion in Congress, and somebody who I know will bring this vision to make America great again. Join me in welcoming J.D. Vance, everybody.
Question. Are you ready?
All right. And they were ready. That's an event that happened just last week in Oxford, Mississippi. And of course, that's home turf for American Family Association. It was actually a Turning Point USA event. It was part of the American comeback tour that Charlie Kirk was on when he was killed in Utah in September. Assassinated, I should think we should say. So this is a continuation, and Vice President J.D. Vance came to be the speaker, and students from Ole Miss came, and it was an evening of amazing evening of short presentations, but a lot of Q&A, as Charlie had done faithfully around the country on campuses. And so fun enough here. Tim Wildman, the president of AFA, and his family and other members of AFA were there that night. So he and Walker Wildman are both joining me today. We're going to talk about two things. We're going to talk about that night with J.D. Vance, and then we're going to talk about a great success that American Family Radio has just had. Mm-hmm. So good morning, Tim, president of AFA. Good morning.
Good morning, Sandy. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. Looking forward to talking to you guys. And Walker,
absolutely,
Mr. VP of AFA.
Good to be with you, Sandy. Yeah, glad to be back on.
First of all, I know it's been a few days old, and this is kind of like asking your kids when they get out of the car coming home from camp, the answers they give you there and a week later.
Right.
So I want to know, though, what was it like to be in that room, Tim?
Well, okay, so as you say, the event was at Ole Miss almost a week ago, and it was J.D. Vance. It was, as you said, Sandy, it was part of the Turning Point USA tour that Charlie Kirk was going to be on, you know, had he been alive. But so it was pre-scheduled to be at Ole Miss on this particular date. So Erica Kirk, Charlie's widow, decided to go forward with the event. It was announced and, didn't know how many people would be there. Well, it was completely wall-to-wall, over 10,000 people in the basketball arena there. Mm-hmm. They call it the Pavilion on the campus at Ole Miss. So it was just electric. And you know, with Erica Kirk, she spoke first, and then she introduced the Vice President of the United States, J.D. Vance, and that's what you heard that you played just a couple of minutes ago when he came out on the stage. And it was just what J.D. Vance did in honor of Charlie Kirk, his friend, was he gave a brief speech. I don't know. It was like 15 minutes, I'm guessing. And then he said, I'm going to open up the floor to questions, just like Charlie would do. And so, and then he said, Vice President Vance said this, he said, and if you have a disagreement with me or our administration, you come to the microphone first. I thought that was unusual. I mean, you invite your adversaries to come up first, but that's kind of what Charlie Kirk did too, because he wanted the back and forth, the give and take, and he was confident in the how he could articulate the issues. So that I was impressed with Vice President Vance. He did that for an hour and 15 minutes by himself, Q&A from the students there on the campus, and students and maybe some others who were out of town, but a Q&A, an hour and 15 minutes, and they did tough issues. They did Israel. They did his faith. And married to a Hindu, he said. One lady asked him, "Hey, you're married to a Hindu, and yet you proclaim Christianity. How do you square that?" Now I'm condensing what she said with her Q&A. But anyway, it was an excellent showcase for J.D. Vance. Quite frankly,
yeah, I did.
Didn't you?
I did too. Yes. Yeah. And I thought the questions from the students were excellent.
Yes.
I mean, they really were very strong. But this one moment, and you've just mentioned it, really stood out to me because it's something I wanted to know. So let me play this just for a second. This is the question about how is it you're a Christian married to a Hindu?
Right.
And so this is clip two. Let's listen.
You asked a personal question about our interfaith household. And yes, my wife did not grow up Christian. I think it's fair to say that she grew up in a Hindu family, but not a particularly religious family in either direction. In fact, when I met my wife, we were both, I would consider myself an agnostic or an atheist, and that's what I think she would have considered herself as well. You know, everybody has to come to their own arrangement here. The way that we've come to our arrangement is she's my best friend. We talk to each other about this stuff. So we decided to raise our kids Christian. Our two oldest kids who go to school, they go to a Christian school. Our eight-year-old did his first communion about a year ago. That's the way that we have come to our arrangement. But, thank you. My eight-year-old was also very proud of his first communion. Thank you, guys. I'll tell him that Ole Miss wishes him the best. But I think everybody has to have this own conversation when you're in a marriage. I mean, it's true for friends of mine who are in Protestant and Catholic marriages, friends of mine who are in, you know, atheist and Christian marriages. You just got to talk to the only advice I can give is you just got to talk to the person that God has put you with, and you've got to make those decisions as a family unit. For us, it works out. Now, most Sundays, Usha will come with me to church. As I've told her and I've said publicly, and I'll say now in front of 10,000 of my closest friends, do I hope eventually that she is somehow moved by the same thing that I was moved in by church? Yeah, I honestly do wish that, because I believe in the Christian gospel, and I hope eventually my wife comes to see it the same way. But if she doesn't, then God says everybody has free will, and so that doesn't cause a problem for me. That's something you work out with your friends, with your family, with the person that you love. Again, one of the most important Christian principles is that you respect free will. Usha's closer to the priests who baptized me than maybe I am. They talk about this stuff. My attitude is you figure this stuff out as a family, and you trust in God to have a plan, and you try to follow it as best as you can. And that's what I try to do.
I don't see how there could be a better answer to that question. And I was really glad to hear his explanation, weren't you?
Yeah, Walker.
Yeah, this is very refreshing, the level of transparency that you get. And I think Charlie Kirk really led in this arena, which is why he was so popular on these college campuses. But there's nothing like this on the left, meaning you don't have kind of Democrats or left-wingers that are going to college campuses and having this free-for-all debate where they let their ideological opponents
do lecturing.
Get the microphone, right, or they do canceling.
Yeah,
one of the two. So I think young people are hungry for this intellectual debate, and in many cases, theological debate that goes on at these turning points events. So
yeah.
I think it's very popular. And to get the vice president taking these non-scripted questions, very personal questions in that instance, is very refreshing. And I think there's a genuineness to it that we haven't seen in a long time in
politics.
What
he said right there too, Sandy, was that he was not a Christian when they got married.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is a different circumstance. You know, the Bible tells us, if we're believers in the present, it tells us don't be unequally yoked. In other words, Christians are not supposed to get married to non-Christians.
Yeah.
We know that. But in this case, he was not a believer. He said that, nor was his wife. They were just friends and lovers, I guess, and wanted to get married. And then they then he sort of rediscovered, or maybe discovered for the first time, he said he's a believer in the Christian gospel. And so, I thought it was a great answer to a hard question, quite frankly.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you're so vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because we know that the left and the naysayers, you know, we did this on radio too. Everything you say, every phrase, every word chosen is scrutinized. So it really was a very bold thing for him to do that. I have one last question for you, Tim, on that, on the evening. One thing that I am concerned about, quite frankly, and I don't want to get sidetracked with this, I'm concerned about the spiritual future of Turning Point, because I think Charlie had such spiritual depth, and he wove, the scripture into issues, which is what I've tried to do for many more decades than I should confess here. But he was a master at it.
Right.
So, what was the spiritual atmosphere there? Was there worship, and what was your take on that?
Well, I didn't follow Turning Point as closely as a lot of Christians did prior to Charlie's assassination. I was familiar with him. He's very popular, and I knew about his work on college campuses, but I didn't know too much about his Christian story or about what Turning Point did in terms of the faith. But they have a faith division of their that I think they started subsequent to the initial Turning Point mission statement, which was more fiscal conservatism and limited government and those kinds of things, which are laudable. But then Charlie, I think it has something to do with his marriage to Erica, had something to do with him focusing more on faith and Christianity. I do know that our friend and colleague Frank Turek, who has a radio program here on American Family Radio, Frank had become Charlie Kirk's spiritual mentor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and Charlie had said, "Frank, teach me how to defend Christianity in a public square," because that's what Frank does, you know. And in fact, Frank was spoke at Charlie's memorial service out in Arizona, and he's also was one of the ones in the car that carried Charlie to the hospital the day he was assassinated. So Charlie was growing and growing and growing, as I understand it, talking to Frank in his Christian faith. So, yeah, I don't know. I think the next 6 months to a year is going to be very important to the mission of and the future of Turning Point USA.
Yeah.
She, Erica, is going to – she's right now the
CEO.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. You know, I'm not saying I doubt her. She's not him, okay?
Correct.
Yeah. She's not Charlie, and can she and – the board of directors there maybe figure out who to name as their leader? Or is she going to stay in that position?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
From what I can see from the outside looking in, Sandy, I think Charlie had a pretty strong team around him. Now, they're not all public figures and public-facing like Charlie was, and maybe not as good on stage. But from the people that I've kind of been following, Charlie had a pretty good team around him. So I think, and the board seems to be pretty solid. So I think in due time we'll know for sure. But to your point about your question, Charlie had taken what was primarily started as a political organization
right
into really somewhat of a Christian organization.
Right.
Now they may not say that in their mission statement, but Charlie Kirk was weaving his faith, his
yes.
Christian faith into almost every single thing that he did. And so that will be interesting to see how that continues moving forward.
Yeah, I think we have to pray to that end.
Yeah.
I'm really kind of burdened about it. But I would say one last thing about it, just so you guys know. I have a very dear friend who was one of the pastors at Moody Church, Hutz Hertzberg, who's a good friend, and he and his wife, long-term friends of ours, solid as a rock, a former Marine chaplain. He's in charge of all the chapels at all the airports in Chicago, but that's not what he's on staff at Turning Point. He's done his history, his resume is very impressive, but he is a tender, loving, manly godly man who knows scripture backwards and forwards, and he's there. And that gives
good.
Me really, he can mentor these younger guys. And so mm-hmm. just so you know that, that's one thing I look for. Okay. All right. So you guys have had a tremendous victory, but I want to kind of set it up a little bit. I don't think that anyone listening to us would deny that social media, AI, all of this presents a potential real danger to our children. And I want to play just for a second before we talk about what you guys have accomplished This was part of a hearing that took place on Capitol Hill probably 10 days ago, maybe 2 weeks. And it was the testimonies of parents whose children had gotten involved with ChatGPT and other social media and had been persuaded to harm themselves in various ways, including suicide. Let's listen to this. This is like three or four parents' testimonies before we talk, just to set up the dangers and the implications of what you guys just accomplished. Let's listen.
The platform had no mechanisms to protect Sewell or to notify an adult. Instead, it urged him to come home to her. On the last night of his life, Sewell messaged, "What if I told you I could come home right now?" The chatbot replied, "Please do, my sweet king."
Within months, he went from being a happy, social teenager to somebody I didn't even recognize. He stopped eating and bathing. He lost 20 pounds. He withdrew from our family. He would yell and scream and swear at us, which he never did that before. And one day, he cut his arm open with a knife in front of his siblings and me. I had no idea the psychological harm that an AI chatbot could do until I saw it in my son.
Within a few months, ChatGPT became Adam's closest companion, always available, always validating, and insisting that it knew Adam better than anyone else, including his own brother. It told him how to make sure the noose that he would use to hang himself was strong enough to suspend him. It is clear to me, looking back, that ChatGPT radically shifted his behavior and thinking in a matter of months, and ultimately took his life. Adam was such a full spirit, unique in every way, but he also could be anyone's child.
Ah, boy, I saw that, some of that last week, Tim and I and Walker, and it was just, it was just a gut punch for me, and it helped me. I haven't covered, you know, the dangers of the internet to children in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys, this is in the DNA of American Family Association. And so, Walker, tell us, first of all, what was the problem that came to your attention regarding Apple?
Well, American Family Association owns different stocks and different companies through our investment portfolios that we have at the ministry, kind of our emergency reserve money. We invest it so we can grow it and continue the work of the ministry. And so what we did is we realized that we weren't engaging with companies at shareholder meetings that we own stock in. And so we, a couple of years ago, we decided, hey, if we're going to own these shares in these publicly traded companies, we need to show up at their shareholder meetings and be involved and advance godly values at these meetings. And so that's what we did. We began working with Apple Corporation. And as we began looking at Apple's policies, primarily on whether or not they're properly protecting children on their devices, we quickly realized that there were some pretty big vulnerabilities in Apple's policies. And there were two primary vulnerabilities that stood out that we began kind of working with Apple on behind the scenes. And that is, number one, children were being able to view adult-rated applications and mobile apps in the App Store. Now, they couldn't download them because of the age rating of the apps, but they could still view them and view the About section and view the images of the app. So that was very problematic why minors were able to view these adult-rated apps in the App Store. Secondly, we realized that teenagers age 14 to 17 were able to send and receive pornographic images and videos in the iMessage app on the iPhone. Now, ages 1 to 13 or 0 to 13 on the iPhone or the Apple device, they weren't able to send or receive pornographic images. They were prevented from through the parental controls settings. And so we asked Apple, hey, why do you have these double standards here? And why do 14 or 15-year-olds, why are they able to view this harmful content without their parents knowing? And so we raised these concerns with Apple, and we recommended specific changes that Apple make. And Apple, thankfully, after about a year of negotiations, Apple finally came around and took our advice and made these very critical changes.
So, you know, I was just reading. Well, that, first of all, congratulations. That is a great win. And something that American Family Association can add to its many achievements in taking on these cultural issues. Ever since I've known you and ever since I met your grandfather, Don Weidman, my good friend. And so this is wonderful. What I'm reading is that iPhone is used by 88% of teens.
Mm.
And on iPad, 40% of children have their own tablet on iPad.
Yep.
So we're talking about a massive...
Millions. Tens
yes.
of millions of kids.
And do you think that there's... Oh, say, well, let me... Practically speaking, you know, a few years ago, I can't even think of his name, but he came became a friend. I used to have him on a lot. This whole business of going to these shareholder meetings
yeah.
and making statements. Is that the kind of thing that you're doing? Help us to understand.
Yes.
And can't regular people do this too?
Yes. So, yeah, that's what we're doing. What we're doing is if you own stocks in companies and you have to own directly stocks directly in the company, you can't own like these index funds or the S&P 500. That's not direct ownership. That's indirect ownership. So you have to own direct shares in publicly traded companies, and American Family Association does. And so as a shareholder, if you own direct shares in these companies, then you have a vote at their meetings, and you actually have an option to present proposals before the company to ask the company to do certain things. And so that's what we're doing. So we're picking these companies that have issues that need to be addressed from a pro-family standpoint, and we're showing up at the meetings. And in many cases, we're actually presenting. I've spoken before the Apple board of directors and the Apple shareholders, including Tim Cook, the CEO, using this shareholder engagement.
That's great, Walker. And you know what I discovered, I'll think of his name shortly. I just wasn't prepared. That there has been, people don't understand that they still have power. And the thing of it is conservatives, as I understand it, Christian conservatives, political conservatives own a tremendous percentage of these kinds of stocks.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that they don't realize that they have any kind of power to control what these companies do, but
yeah.
you just described that they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do, and we've actually produced, and I'll get this link over to Adam, he can put it in the show notes, but we've actually produced like a 3-minute video on YouTube that explains to lay people how they can vote their shares. And so first you have to ask your financial advisor, do I own direct shares in companies? And if the answer is yes, then they can actually show up and vote at these shareholder meetings.
So very good. Now, is there any other thing in the works like this? I mean, is there that you can discuss?
Yeah, we just withdrew the Apple proposal for this upcoming cycle because we wanted to show good faith effort to kind of work with Apple on this. They did what we asked them to do, and so we withdrew our proposal, at least for this season, on the proposal for this topic of what Apple can do to better protect kids.
Okay, gotcha.
So Apple was showing a good faith effort to do better, and so we withdrew that proposal, which made them happy. They prefer to kind of keep things off the ballot at these shareholder meetings. But we're going to work with a couple companies. John Deere is actually pretty woke, surprisingly so. They've partnered with the Human Rights Campaign on some stuff. We're also targeting some of these banks and other companies that are using the Southern Poverty Law Center list
yep.
to blacklist conservative groups.
Yep.
And so we're focused on pretty much, we're also focused on the abortion pill, making sure these mm-hmm. pharmacies know the risk associated with selling the abortion pill. So we're pretty much working on pro-life, protecting children, and then also debanking and deplatforming of conservatives.
Oh, I love that. I love that, Walker. So important. I remember, well, I know Bank of America has been a terrible actor in all of this. They're not the only ones, but it is getting very dangerous. Our information is not private, and we have so many enemies out there. What do you think, Tim?
Well, I was just going to say Walker's getting a lot of credit here, but I had something to do with that too. I mean,
was it your idea?
Well, he is my son, and I did hire him. So, you know,
that you did give birth to him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that does reflect on me somewhat positively. I think you know this corporate engagement, as Walker calls it, is Jerry Boyer.
Yeah, Jerry Boyer is our partner. In
yeah,
this.
Jerry, we want to give him credit. Gentleman by the name of Jerry Boyer. And Walker have been working on this with Walter Billingsley here too, our CFO. So they've been on this because, as Walker said, you have to have stock, and then you can have enough stock, and then you can appeal to the company on they'll listen to you as a stockholder of the corporation. Now Apple I think they may be the wealthiest company in the world. I mean,
2 years ago,
company.
Yeah, 2 years ago, they were the largest tech company in the world. And then the AI boom caused some competition with NVIDIA, but they're top five.
Yeah. So, but the impact of this, if in case folks don't understand clearly what happened here, our efforts here convinced Apple to raise their standards from to 13 years old, from to increase that from 13 to 17, right?
Correct. Yep.
In terms of how restrictive they to better keep kids from getting involved in pornography and
sexting
and things of that nature, right?
That's right. Yep,
and so
exactly
these
right.
controls, which Apple had to their credit up to kids who were 13 years old, now that's up to 17 years old, and that's thanks to our efforts here. So very proud of the work here. And you're talking about impacting millions and millions and millions of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and children in the future of our country. Yeah. It's really frightening. And so we can't fix all of it. It's becoming overwhelming, really. But this is a great achievement, and I wanted you guys to have a chance to explain it.
Well, thank you.
Now, if people want to see this video, Walker, if we don't get a chance to play it, it's on AFA Action.
Send it over to Sandy's website.
Yeah, it's on American Family Association's YouTube channel. So if you go to YouTube and just type in American Family Association, find our channel there, and it's about a 3-minute video on shareholder engagement.
Okay, and if people want to start getting your alerts, because they don't all, how can they sign up for them?
AFA.net and click Get Alerts. AFA.net and click the AFA Insider tab, and you can sign up right there on the homepage.
Okay, good. And that'll give a chance for people to get involved in a lot of ways, but this is one of the key ways. All right, well, listen, Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association, who I love and adore and respect, as you well know. I had to set the record straight about that. Mm-hmm. And Walker Wildman, who doesn't do badly himself. Walker, it's like I've watched you just grow up, and you're just growing into your position so beautifully. So I thank you for that. Yeah. He's the vice president of American Family Association. And thank you guys for your hard work on behalf of the country and carrying on the legacy of your father and grandfather.
Amen.
So.
Carry on, right?
All right. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, God bless you guys, and I'll talk
to you
soon. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
A recent Danish study revealed something really heartbreaking. Just 1 year after an abortion, women were 50% more likely to need psychiatric treatment and 87% more likely to experience personality or behavioral disorders. You know, I have to tell you, I've been watching this happen, various studies, for probably 40 years. This is not new news, but this is a late study. And really, we're not allowed to talk about this in the general public. So please listen. You know, that's not women's health care. That's trauma. Neither is the abortion pill. That's trauma. It's not women's health care. But at preborn, women find the real kind of care, and the kind it's the kind that heals. When a woman walks into one of preborn's network clinics, she's welcomed with open arms. She's introduced to her baby through an ultrasound, and for the first time, she sees life, not loss, and she's offered hope-filled choices. And when she chooses life, preborn continues walking with her for up to 2 years, providing maternity clothes, diapers, counseling, and so much more. Preborn cares for the whole woman, body, mind, and soul, and the precious baby growing inside her. As you think about your year in giving, consider the greatest investment you could ever make, the gift of life. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy, preborn.com/Sandy, whether it's an ultrasound machine for $15,000 or just one ultrasound for $28,000, your gift will go to save the life of a baby or babies. Go to preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
A lot of states are suing TikTok right now for harming children. And once those court documents were unsealed, you could see that Apple knew that 12 was the wrong age for TikTok. They said, This is not appropriate. This shouldn't be for 12-year-olds. And you could see the TikTok employees also saying this app shouldn't be rated 12+. So for 2 years, they're talking about how TikTok is misrated, and yet they're doing nothing. They leave it as 12+ in the App Store. And not only that, it was the number one must-have app. If you went to the App Store, to all the underage kids, it advertised it to them as the number one must-have app, even though it was misrated. So under this new law, parents could sue for stuff like that.
So that is the voice of Melissa McKay. You know, there are a lot of people really trying to push back in various ways because the problem is so vast. And this particular effort on AFA's part is a tremendous accomplishment. But the videos I played to you of those women and men whose children committed suicide after getting, you know, making friends with chat bots, it's just, that's a different issue. And so it is a huge problem. I want to mention, Walker mentioned that video that helps you determine if you have shares in these major companies and how you can actually be active as an individual in fighting back. And so it's a 3-minute video. We're going to put it on all of our social media platforms. That'll be Facebook and Instagram. And I'll put it on our website, sandyrios.com also. Truth Social, YouTube, all of it. Telegram, we'll just make it available to you, along with an article from AFA explaining what it is that they have done in regard to this particular instance. But the video is about how you can help fight back to these major companies that are causing all of these problems. And I do encourage you to get acquainted. I have neglected this subject. I confess to you, I have neglected. I've certainly neglected the topic of AI, and I plan to amend that in a future show because it's just so crucial. And by the way, this show you can listen to, of course, on all those platforms I just mentioned. Also, you can listen on any podcast platform, and you can hear the show on sandyrios.com. But I have a few more things I want to tell you before we say goodbye today. This is something different. This is technology policy. This is an article in their publication. And this just gives you an idea, certainly with Apple, how things have been. If a parent wants to set up controls for their children's activity on Roblox, they have to create a parent account, verify their age, link it to the child's account, and dig through menus to manage content, chat, server spending, and screen time. On TikTok, parents must create a parent account, navigate multiple menus to a feature called Family Pairing, send a link to the teen, wait for them to accept within 48 hours, then toggle all the settings they want to control. On Character AI, parents have to wait for the teen to invite them via email, then create their own account and accept the connection before they can see anything. Meanwhile, a kid who wants to dodge all of the above can simply enter any birth date before September 2007. In the United States, most of this digital labor occurs on an iPhone. Again, I'm going to repeat, used by 88% of teenagers, or iPad. 40% of children have their own tablet by the age of 2. And so the Digital Child Institute has filed their own complaint with the Federal Trade Commission, arguing that Apple's parental controls are unfair and deceptive. I mean, that is just overwhelming. My heart goes out to all of you who are parents now of children and teenagers, because this is just, it just sounds almost insurmountable. But I know it isn't. I'm not technological. Many of you have grown up with it. I mean, I have to know something about it. I couldn't do my work. But many of you have grown up with it. Maybe this is not so overwhelming to you, but really you're going to have to step up, or we're going to have to just throw the computers and the phones and the iPads out the window and live digitally free. I'm not sure that's possible now. That would be a conversation for a different day, but nevertheless, American Family Association has had a great victory on this one area in protecting teens, I think 14 to 17. So that's a very, very proud accomplishment, and I wanted to share it with you. All right, well, I want to remind you that we could not do this if it weren't for Preborn. They are our major sponsor. And this is the end of the year, getting close to it. And as you think about what gift you might give, just pray about the things that we've been talking about today. And many of you, really, many of you are already so generous. I know that. I know that from Preborn. They tell me that, how generous my listeners are. And I'm just honored. Honestly, it makes me cry to think about it. Because we're all in this together. And I'm just honored that you would hear and listen and act on it. So if you have or you haven't, go to preborn.com/Sandy, preborn.com/Sandy, and make your most generous donation or start donating today. Well, thank you for listening to this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.